Hey, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot different than we normally do. I'm in Calvary Baptist all by myself. But due to the circumstances, I am here via video, which is cool. Let's get right to it. We are continuing our series here in Matthew, and Jesus has been giving the Sermon on the Mount. And in fact, we just started it. And today we're going to talk about oaths. And if you're like me, oaths are not something that are a part of your normal life. They are, if you're a part of a trial, maybe you gave an oath or something like that, but it's easy to think to yourself, man, this is unrelatable. It's easy to check out. However, as I dove into the scripture and as I read commentaries, this is a really, really applicable, really rich section of scripture, even though it's really short. A while ago, I got into videography. I started YouTube. I filmed a wedding. It's a blast, and I love it a lot. And there's just this creativity and this technical side to videography that I am just in love with, and it's so cool. As I was learning more and more about videography, there's this thing called lens distortion. And lens distortion is because you have this spherical piece of glass that is taking in light in the front of the camera, and the light is bending and physics and science, and it hits this flat sensor and it creates an image. Now, when that image is shown to us on a screen, there's this warping and bending that happens. So like straight lines that should be straight actually appear curved. Faces that don't look fat do look fat sometimes, or like people's proportions are all mixed up, and objects in mirror seem closer than they actually appear. And after a while of looking at distorted images, my mind actually started seeing them as normal. It was kind of bizarre. Staring at the screen for so long, the images that were distorted became normal to me. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus saying what are called these antitheses, the "you've heard it said, but I tell you." People were seeing things distorted, not as they were, and Jesus was telling things as they actually are. And we're going to dive into this. In Matthew 5, 35, 37, it says this, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." So this section, "you have heard that it was said to the people long ago," is a rehashing of what people understood and believed at the time. And these were references to the Old Testament in a bunch of different places. And this is from Leviticus 19:12. It says, "Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Numbers 30, verse 2 says, "When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said." Deuteronomy 23, 21 says, "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin." Psalm 50 verse 14 says, "Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High." Zechariah 8:17 says, "Do not plot evil against each other, and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord." So throughout the Old Testament, there's very strong language about keeping a promise and holding true to your word. The Lord values truth, and the Lord values keeping a promise. So here is where Jesus gets into that distortion. In 34 through 36, Jesus tells the people to not swear an oath at all. Swearing oaths was a big part of Jewish society during the day. So for instance, if a farmer needed to borrow some donkeys from a neighbor, he might swear an oath saying, I swear to you that I will bring your donkeys back after they drop off this load of grain in town. Or they might swear an oath like, that neighbor stole my donkeys. I swear to you that he really did it. Swearing oaths were made to make you sound or be more credible. But swearing an oath on the Lord was binding. Leon Morris says this. He says, the Jews held that unless the name of God was specifically mentioned, the oath was not binding. There were lengthy discussions about when an oath is or is not binding, and people would sometimes swear by heaven or earth or a similar oath and later claim that they were not bound by that oath because God was not mentioned. So people during this time would swear an oath, but if they did not mention the Lord, they could get out of it. So like, it'd be, I know I swore to you that I would bring your Tesla back, but I only swore it on my kids and my family so I can get out of it. Ha, sorry. He gives an example of what people would commonly swear upon back in the day. So heaven on earth, Jerusalem, and they're all pretty big things. They would swear these oaths on things because they thought they were not mentioning the Lord so that they could potentially, if they needed to, back out of these agreements. But Jesus says these are all connected to God. These are all part of God. Heaven is God's throne. Earth is God's footstool. Jerusalem is his city. And you can't turn the hairs on your head any color by yourself. But Jesus says the Lord is actually part of everything. So by swearing certain oaths to the Lord, a double standard was created. If the only time your speech matters is when the Lord is mentioned, what about the other speech, the other conversations you have? Where does that leave those? So Jesus follows up with verse 37 and says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Followers of Jesus don't need to swear by anything. They only need to say yes or no. If it is more than a yes or no, it comes from an evil place. Loopholes, half-truths, massaging the truth, spin, manipulation, all those things can happen when we add more than a yes or no. This is a quote from Stanley Hauerwas, who is quoting another really smart guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he says this, Bonhoeffer observes that oaths are a sign that we live in a world of lies. If we could trust ourselves to tell the truth, not only to others, but especially to ourselves, oaths would not be needed. Oaths hope to safeguard us from lying, but they also can encourage lying just to the extent that the very existence of the oath grants a certain right to the lie. Therefore, to let your word be yes, yes, or no, no, is Jesus' way of saying that for disciples, our speech always takes place in the presence of God. Thus, disciples of Jesus should not swear, because there is no such thing as speech not spoken before God. All of their words should be nothing but truth, so that nothing requires verification by oath. An oath consigns all of the statements to the darkness of doubt. That is why it is from the evil one. Our speech always takes place in the presence of God. You've probably heard the phrase, talk is cheap. Is that because we distort the truth so much that our words are meaningless and empty? Just looking at the internet, we can see that people lie all the time about who they are, what they're doing, what they're really like. Even the news sometimes is untrue. When God spoke, he brought things into existence. When we speak, what happens? Are our words empty and hollow? Do they bring life to others? What if, as disciples of Jesus, the words we said were valuable? What if instead of distortion, we chose truth? Choosing truth over distortion means speaking the truth about ourselves and others when we are with the people, when nobody is watching, and when we are online. and that it is very easy for us to try to distort the truth to other people, to portray an image about who we want them to see. When we make a promise, we keep it. This also includes promises we make to ourselves. I'll make this change today. I'll lose weight. I'll be a better person. I'll start reading my Bible every day, or I'll go vegan, or whatever. We make a lot of promises to ourselves. Do we keep our promises to ourselves? I can go on and on about examples and ways this could be represented in your life, but I want us to remember that our speech always takes place in the presence of God. So feel free to discuss this in your community. Make sure to check out our Facebook, Instagram, and your email for updates about our future gatherings. Thank you for joining us at Valley Church in this untraditional way. Just praying for you and praying that you're healthy and safe. Valley Church exists to be a family of missionary disciples who want to see God's kingdom come in Salem as it is in heaven. Place, but do this, the things we say always take, man, this thing keeps pulling my shirt down. So sometimes we need to stop distorting the truth. Gosh, this feels weird. Peace.